The eighth awareness in Hachi Dai Nin Kaku of Dogen Zenji. Avoiding idle talk. Having realization and being free from discrimination is what is called avoiding idle talk. To totally know the true form of all things is the same as being without idle talk. Dogen Zenji then quotes, he says, the Buddha says, when you engage in various kinds of idle talk, your minds are disturbed. Although you have left home, you are still not liberated. Therefore, you must quickly abandon mind-disturbing idle talk. If you would like to attain the joy of the extinction of delusion, you must first simply extinguish the affliction of idle talk. This is what avoiding idle talk means. That's Maizumi Roshi's translation. Slightly different one that can give us another facet. In the translation by scholars of the whole Shobo Genzo, they say, not engaging in frivolous discourse, realizing freedom from discrimination is called not engaging in frivolous discourse. Exhaustively investigating the real marks is not engaging in frivolous discourse. Quoting, the Buddha said, if you engage in all sorts of frivolous discourse, your minds will be confused. Even if you have left home, you will still not attain liberation. Therefore, you should quickly abandon the confused mind and frivolous discourse. If you wish to attain the bliss of extinction, you should fully extinguish the trouble of frivolous discourse. This is called not engaging in frivolous discourse. Here, the subtle differences between those two. One more that I'll read the whole from. The eighth quality is not involving oneself in spurious talk or useless argument that is not beneficial. To realize the Buddha's teaching and not get caught up in illusory discrimination is not engaging in useless argument. To pursue the true reality of Dharma is nothing other than not getting involved in useless discussion. Then he says, then there's the quote of the Buddha's comment. The Buddha said, the mind that partakes in useless or frivolous discussion will only become confused and scattered. Even though you have decided to leave home, you will never be emancipated. Throw away and distance yourself from all such useless and confusing discussion. If you wish to enjoy the peace and serenity of Nirvana, all you need to do is to wipe out the sickness of idle talk or useless discussion. This is what is called not engaging in useless argument. have at least two more translations here, but I think we have the quality of what he said here. But I want to go on and quote the next piece from Dogen. The Buddha said, "Endeavor with all your heart to leave the realms of delusion. All things that are alive, moving or not moving, all things that fall apart and come to nothing, cause one to feel insecure and ill at ease. All of you, for a while, just keep still and refrain from all speech. Now, says the Buddha, my final moment is at hand. I am about to enter a nirvana that has destroyed all worldly cravings and delusions. These are my final words." It's nice to have this sense of how Dogen, I don't know if he knew he was not going to go any further, if he was dying or not, but you have the sense of this, of the mirroring of what led to the death of the Buddha and what led to his death. And this is his last, what should I say, offering to those who are practicing with him. And there is a poignancy to it. And there is another sense of how he's putting himself out to encourage and support them. Here's how Masumi Roshi translates the Japanese. "You should continually and single-mindedly strive to accomplish the way. Every dharma, meaning everything in the world, whether active or non-active, is characterized by destructibility and unrest. Now, please keep quiet and say no more. Time passes on, and I shall enter complete nirvana. This is my final admonition." And as this is that, then different sutras state this in different ways. And as I said, this is a translation of the Chinese Mahaparinirvana Sutra, and other sutras are going to state it differently. But it's very clear, in a sense, he's been bringing up the facets of what's important in our practice for the sake of allowing those who are there, who are willing to follow what he's saying, to attain, to be awakened, to be what the Buddha has spent his life wandering around India to encourage and support and nurture, to live that life that will bring the end to their suffering. In a way, it's very simple, these. You can say they're different, but as I said that at other times, this is the facets of the same jewel. Sometimes we look at one facet, sometimes we look at another. But they're the facets of what to do in order to live this jewel, to be this jewel, which we are. Please keep quiet and say no more. The whole thing is every Dharma in the world, meaning everything in all the various characteristics or categories of things, live, dead, and so on, the Buddha is saying, everything, whether active or not active, is characterized by, whether we call it destructibility, impermanence, unrest. Let's see what someone else says about unrest, so that decay. Well, destructibility and decay is another way. Stop talking for a while, for time is slipping away and I am about to die. These are my last words. I am about to die, and even so, he's taking the time and attention to support and nurture all those who are coming to be with him at this time. Of course, if you look in the sutras, there's all sorts of statements about the trees flowering and all sorts of beings coming to witness it. All sorts of ways that he wants to encourage. Another translation says, time is passing and I am going to cross over. This is my last admonition to you. Without expounding Dharma any further, the Buddha entered Parinirvana. Parinirvana is considered the state of a Buddha dying, one entering the great Nirvana of non-return, if I say it that way. So Nirvana, and then there's the Parinirvana, complete Nirvana, as Maizumi Roshi translates it. I know I indulge in bringing up slightly different translations, and I do it because I find it of interest and of value to see the different ways those who are translating it capture what the Buddha or Dogen or others are saying, and the different ways give us an entry, at least as I see it, beyond the words, because we see the different facets of both the words and what it is they're saying, if I say behind the words. And that's what it's about. How do I get the sense of what is actually said by whether it's Dogen or the Buddha? And of course, it's all centuries away from us, and how they speak and how that they intended to say it is a little bit or a lot skewed by our, I used to say 20th century understanding, now it's of course the 21st century. In fact, I think the scholars' version is probably written 21st century, but the others are 20th century, which just, of course, dates the translations and myself. So, the point of these is not to memorize it, but to see what they're telling us about how we ourselves can both practice, both appreciate the facets of what the essential teaching is, the essential point is, to realize to some extent or other, to live to some extent or other, this that offers us, we say it, liberation from destructibility and unrest. Well, I don't know if we need to put it in quite that way, but to offer us liberation from what causes suffering. Or we use big words like delusion. And what causes us to be insecure and at ease. What causes us to do things that are not skillful and that cause harming to ourselves and others. That's what's offered here. But what's offered requires us to pay attention to what they're saying and see how we could make this alive in our life. How we can use it as guidelines when we get entangled in everyday functioning. And the way we can tell if we're entangled is if there's discomfort, suffering, harming. We know something's up. What's up and how to respond to that, it depends on our capacity, willingness, insight, supports, and that's up to us in terms of both regular practice and the people and environment we live in. When, even in the simplest of senses. I'll pick a very gross example. If you live in a house and you keep some form of media on all the time, and not just keep the media on, but keep the sound, etc., going all the time, you're going to have, well, one thing, you'll have a headache as far as I'm concerned, but you'll always be jacked up about this and that, because that's what the media is engaged in doing. So that's a simple way. But of course, we don't need that, because we carry our own internal, what should I say, commentary on all sorts of circumstances. So these eight awarenesses, and I've talked about all of them both before session and during session, are just facets that are offered to us one at a time to look at that facet of how do I practice with that, how do I make use of that in my life to nurture my life and to nurture the life of those beings that I share life with. Not in a harsh way, but in a useful way. What does it allow me to see what's not so skillful in what's done? What's not so skillful in part because, of course, all the, many of the forms of media and culture are always going in the other direction now for many of us. They don't want us to have to be who we truly are. They want us, and they each have, not each, but many of them have their own goals and intentions of why they want our attention and our action and our reaction, and yet it's up to us. Of course, then we discover that it's not them out there, but it's the habits of mind that we don't notice, but which seem automatic and natural. That's what the Buddha, that's what Dogen are addressing in very simple, ordinary terms. None of this is very mysterious. None of this is beyond the capacity of even just the ordinary person to hear and understand whether, how to do that, what supports are appropriate. That's a whole nother matter. That's why you can pick up any one of these and work on that for an extensive period and see. And of course, working on one is working on all the others. As I said, it's one jewel with many facets. In this case, we break it up to 8 facets. Doesn't make a difference how we call it. There's a Zen master who talks about it as a pearl rolling around on a platter. All the different ways this is our life. So I bring this up. It's all easily available. It's available online. I cited 3 different translations that are that I have as PDFs that are available online. I have 2 additional books which might be online, but I didn't. These books are here. Some of them are in the Zen Central Library. Some of them are available on PDF. Not some. Many of them are available. But you don't need the books. Of course, my talks, poor as they are available, and you could listen to the translations. So, it's all there for us, and it's all ours to make use of, to live the life that we are. You don't have to do anything special, because it's in the midst of your life, however your life is, that this practice is. It's in the midst of the life that you have, work, friends, family, loves, all the things you do, your interests, our tendencies. Some of you might not be interested in all of this and might just want to pick up 1 or 2 of the phrases. That's great. I, because of my background, tend to have a somewhat, scholarly predisposition for whatever reasons. Well, doesn't matter the reasons, I know, but it's just the way I am. And I find it useful to support practice and to help and encourage others to practice. Pick a word or phrase from any of those and work with it for a week, a day, a month. Chew on it and let it roll around in your being, in your mouth, in your actions. Make good use of it. After all, that's both Dogen's intention and the Buddha's intention, since these are their last words in some ways. I mean, Dogen's, in a sense, is the last thing that he worked on writing, and in Buddha's case, at least as it comes down to it, it's his last words, literally, to the extent that almost 3,000 years old, or 2,500 years old tradition that's both oral and written has, comes down to us in whatever garbled form. So, please, make good use of it. Be these great awarenesses, these eight awarenesses of a great person that you are. Thank you.